Today, my parents are actually joining us at Mass right up here in the front corner right there. But I said this the other day at daily Mass, but I said it's sort of like the fifth joyful mystery where Mary and Jesus find Jesus, you know, Mary and Joseph find Jesus in the temple. I often feel like that when my parents are there because I'm just like, what am I doing up here? They're the ones that raised me, you know. But I was, some of you know that I was a climbing instructor. I ran the climbing program at the Multnomah Athletic Club at the MAC. And sometimes if you're in the corporate world or some other job, you know, they just love doing these weird group icebreakery things and team building like exercises that sometimes are just so painful to experience. But one of these, it wasn't too bad, at least. I remember it at the very least, I guess. But we had a name tag and we didn't put our name on the name tag. Instead, we had to put what we really thought our job was on the name tag. And so mine was obstacle overcoming specialist. That's what I put on my name tag. And people saw it, they're like, oh yeah, the rock climbing instructor. Okay, I got it, you know? And so one of the funny things about climbing in general is that we use the phrase, and it's used in other parts of the world, but we say it all the time in climbing. We talk about the crux of the climb. The crux is the hard part, the sticking point, the difficult part of the climb, especially in competition climbing, where you see competitor after competitor go up and up and up. 90% of them will fall at that crux, at that one particular spot. A large majority of people fall at that spot. And so it's kind of an amazing thing when you identify these difficult parts or sticking points in life. Today, Jesus is very, very clear with Peter when he says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." Now, that's a huge, huge statement to the guy who most often says who Jesus actually is. He's the one who stands up and often gets it like right on. And then, of course, like right away, he goes right back and messes it up a little bit. But Jesus uses that word, "You're an obstacle to me. You know, you're in my way." And so that's a stark thing to hear from your what they call the Prince of the Apostles right there. Now, the thing that's great about Peter, though, is that humanness that he experiences, that we read about, is so much closer to our own daily life. What it's like to follow and get a lot of things right, and then what it's like to fall. But it's really his perseverance that's such an unbelievable model for us. But this back and forth teaches us a lot of different things. So one of the famous traditions of Peter that's written in another ancient text, but it's not in scripture, is there's the Roman persecution when Paul and Peter are being persecuted in Rome. And so, probably by the advice of many of the other disciples in the city, and also Peter's own thought, he decides, "I'm going to leave the city. I'm going to flee the city." And so he's walking on one of the ancient roads outside of the city, and then he sees Jesus on the road. And Jesus famously says to Peter, Peter says to Jesus, "Domine quo vadis," he says in Latin, "Lord, where are you going?" And then he says, "I'm going back to Rome to be crucified a second time." And then he disappears from his sight. And it was in that moment, another moment of correction for Peter, that he realizes that he was going the wrong way. And so he turns around and he walks back into the city. And it's shortly thereafter that he's crucified. And we see the ancient depictions that he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be killed the same way that the Lord was killed. And for those of you who have made a pilgrimage out to Rome, to St. Peter's Basilica, it's just on the side of St. Peter's Square where they still mark that spot where close to where Peter was crucified. Now, this is one of the things about our lives, about our Christian walk with Christ. Thomas Aquinas talked quite a bit about it. Aristotle sort of started this idea. what was called the golden mean. And so it was a very simple depiction. It was just simply one man running that direction, one man running this one, and then one standing there in the middle. And the depiction is really our walk with Christ, our path of virtue in life. One man represents the coward, always running away, always running away. And the other one is sort of a little bit like the brave fool. He's sort of like, show me the way, I'm ready to fight, but he's always ready to fight. Our Christian life, our walk with God, is a constant discernment. That's what makes it so unbelievably hard. The golden mean, the one in the middle, is the one who has to constantly discern, is it time to fight or is it time to walk away? Just like Peter, you could see in that moment, he was struggling in that moment to decide what he should do. And he started to go in one direction, only to turn back that he realized that he was on the wrong road. That's a famous thing that C.S. Lewis said. He said, we all want progress, but he goes, progress means getting closer to the place that you want to be. And if you're on the wrong road, the most progressive person is the one that turns back soonest to get back to the right road. And that's exactly what happens to Peter in that moment right there. We hear in our second reading today from St. Paul, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Again, to discern the will of God. That is the essence of why Christianity is so unbelievably difficult. Because it's really easy to just make a decision and say, I'm just going to fight all the time. So if something comes my way, I'll just always fight. So I know the answer. My answer is always fight. Or the other person is just like, I'm just going to run away from everything that comes my way because then I just know what I'll do. It's predictable. Oh, if some trouble comes my way, I'm just going to run. But the path of virtue is this center path where you constantly discern. You know, we don't always fight. Sometimes it's better to retreat. And sometimes you need to stand up and you need to fight. But like I said, to discern the will of God is a constant. Every decision, every moment of our lives, to decide to even send the email, to get on the list, to get chosen for the lottery, to be here today, is a step in that direction, to be exposed to the will of God, to do that, to live a virtuous life. Now, one of the things that I mentioned about rock climbing was that there's these crux moves. But the amazing thing about rock or even a route that's bolted to the wall with plastic holes is it's fixed. That's kind of what I like about it so much. The thing that has to change is you. You know, last week we heard that Peter is the rock that Christ builds his church on. And Christ is the rock, is the true rock, the true foundation. We conform to them. That's how we conform. But to be conformed by the world is a huge, huge and dangerous pitfall. Because we're only here for a short time. But if we see Christ and Peter, the representative of the church, our church, and we conform our lives to that, that's what we should have our sights set on, because that's our ultimate end. That's what we're oriented towards. It's so hard for us to realize, because we live in time, that it's so short. But everyone out there, especially those of you that have lost somebody that you love, realize how short it really is. And so it's where our focus is put in this life that's so important. One of the things in the seminary that we often just refer to it as is being in formation. You have a formation director that you meet with your entire time in seminary. And I'm considered a later vocation. And so the later your vocation is, the more conformity of the world that you have to break bad habits, and the more you have to form yourself to Christ and his church. And it's a painful process when you do that. You know, it's uncomfortable. But it's so unbelievably important because it breaks us of a lot of bad habits in our life. Jesus says in the gospel today, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? There's things, I mentioned this just in daily mass yesterday. My dad's the one who told me this. You can be blessed with wealth in your life. That's possible. But Jesus also tells us it's hard for the rich man to enter heaven. The reason it's hard is because many things are very distracting. The more things you have, the more things can pull at you. And this could go for people and actual material things. It's not impossible, but the people that have more simple life more simply concentrate on Christ. The example that I give about this all the time is the classic example in the scripture of Martha and Mary. They're the examples of what we call the active life and the contemplative life in the church. So, first of all, the active life is absolutely necessary. We have to prepare food for ourselves. We have to build shelter. We have to clothe our children and raise them. And those things require resources. But there's some folks in the church, some in different religious orders, that choose a life of contemplation so that hopefully they contemplate more than they do the active life in our life. And so what happens with Martha and Mary is Martha's running around and preparing things and getting stuff ready. And a lot of people identify as one or the other sometimes. But then what does Jesus say to Martha? Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things. And then there's Mary sitting at the foot of Jesus. And he says, Mary has chosen the better part of it, and it will not be taken from her. So the origins of the word contemplate are your gaze. It's actually what you're looking at, what you're oriented towards. So Mary is literally sitting there at the foot of Jesus in the flesh and gazing up at him. But Mary, or Martha, is worried and anxious about many things. That's why it's harder with many things to enter the kingdom of heaven. But if we know that, if we understand it, and this is where my dad comes in, you can have things, but you have to look at them like they're on loan to you. Easy come, easy go. Naked we came into this world and naked we leave. If we understand that about the things that we've been blessed with, then we can move on. It's easier to give them away to the people that need them the most, and it's easy to put your eyes on Christ and realize that they're only resources for us for a short time in our life. And this is exactly what Peter ends up doing on that road right there, where he says, who wishes to save his life will lose it. In that moment, he was trying to save his life, but then he realizes that he needed to lose his life to save it and to save many of the other believers that followed him. Now, I know Father Brent liked to quote a lot of movies, and so one of my homilies had a ton of movies in it. This one just has one, but it's a very quotable one, Rocky III. Apollo Creed, the one-time nemesis of Rocky, is now training him. But Rocky has kind of lost the eye of the tiger, as Apollo puts it. And he's having a tough time. And they're sparring together. And Apollo's hitting him. And he's telling him, the guy's coming. He's hooking. He's coming at you. And Rocky's not reacting. He's not reacting to him. And then he says, Rock, what's going on? What's wrong with you? And then he says, tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. And then Apollo Creed gives some of the best advice you'll ever hear in your life. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Perhaps Jesus even said it better when he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. They're telling us now is the way. We have to be willing to be corrected. Peter was wrong, and he was told that he was wrong by Jesus. But the difference between Peter and some others is that he was willing to admit it, and he walked back toward him. He oriented his life toward him. Do not conform, but conform yourself to Christ. There is no tomorrow. God bless you all.